Okay, well, I started out in law doing litigation. I did consumer and civil rights litigation with Legal Aid, Texas Rural Legal Aid, and then with the Texas Attorney General's Office. I was chief of the Consumer Protection Division, and I loved doing that. But over time, I learned that I enjoyed the counseling part of what I did more than the litigation. And I read a survey long ago that 90% of law teachers and judges are happy, but less than 50% of litigators are. And I was realizing that I was one of those 50% of litigators that weren't so happy with what they were doing. Then I stumbled into one of the first conferences of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys in Florida back in 1990. And I found hundreds of attorneys who were doing primarily counseling, and it really hooked me at that moment. I realized it was as much a movement as a legal specialty. I had always thought of what I was doing as a movement, a civil rights movement, a consumer law movement. And here I found a movement where I could do counseling and do what I really enjoyed and still be part of a movement. So even today, I'm still surprised that I can do what I do and enjoy it as much as I do and still get paid for it.
Patty, do you have a story about how you got into elder law and disability law?
There we go. I knew in law school I was going to be a transactional attorney. I had no intention to be a litigator. I didn't shoot from the hip. I like to chew on things. And so elder law was the perfect fit for me. One of my partners, I was an associate attorney at a tax and estate planning firm, and associates got all of the unbillable work. And so he said, well, there's not a lot of money here, but I need to know if I give this a child with a disability a crummy power, will that person be disqualified from the Medicaid that he has, Medicaid benefits? And nobody knew in San Antonio. I searched everywhere. Nobody knew. And so that I was hooked. This was my niche. And so, but I wanted to do elder. I went to one of Clyde and Pai's seminars, and like Clyde, the minute I heard it, I couldn't write fast enough. I actually had to go back and buy the little cassette tapes so I could get all the information that they gave at their seminar. I think it was around 1992. And so that elder law was, I loved it, but then I also wanted to do the work for children and persons with disabilities. And so I started doing a kids practice along with my elder law. And I, like Clyde, I was pleasantly surprised that somebody wanted to pay me to do this. It was fun.
Renee, let's shift to you. And I have our next question. What mistakes have you made that you will never make again?
That's a good question. So I'm going to answer both questions. First, how did I get to this point? elder law and special needs planning are such great areas, but I took a very circuitous route through college and at working after college and graduate school and business and then working after that. And then finally, law school, where I was fortunate to clerk for Stanley Johansson, and I had asked him about this area, and he said, well, there's not much in it, but, you know, if you go that direction, you'll have it to yourself. There is no money in it. And that is no longer the case. I mean, look how big these groups are now. So I would say that, you know, I took the long way around, but finally, Stanley Johansson had given me somebody's name who I called, who said, oh, you need to talk to Clyde Farrell. And of course, you know, that's like hitting the mother load. And so when I talked to Clyde, it was just from there on, the first thing he said was join NALA. And that was it. And so, but so I would say that I came into special needs planning via elder law, but I got to elder law by trying to do special needs planning. So next question, the mistakes. I think the biggest mistakes have been with some of the things we'll talk about along the way, client expectations and being very careful with client expectations. But I think that one of the things a lot of people have struggled with is with employees. This is a complicated area. We have to have people who are very exacting in their work and who are willing to do that exacting work while actually, you know, while also being very understanding and friendly to people on the phone. And so Mike Young, who's a longtime attorney, I think he's now retired and out in West Texas, he had said, you know, that old mandate of hire slow and fire fast. And I really couldn't do that. I would slowly taper off the entire job and then say, okay, we don't need this position anymore, rather than ever fire someone. But I think we underestimate, or I think I underestimated how difficult it was to really find ideal staff, at least people who could tolerate working with me.
Mary Alice, any mistakes you've made that you will never repeat?